Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week. Happy Tuesday, Kevin.
Yes, hi. Happy Tuesday to you as well. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah?
Doing good.
Well, I thought you did a good job on Sunday of Ephesians chapter 6 and talking about children and parenting and all the joy that comes with that.
Right?
The joy and the heartache.
Yes.
And the difficulty and trying to manage and try to figure out, you know, it's I remember so clearly times when I figure I was working on me just as much as I was trying to work on my kids.
Oh, definitely.
And sometimes the lines got pretty blurred.
Yeah.
I feel bad for my kids.
Oh, I know.
I was joking around with one of our kids recently, and we were talking about she's heading off to a counselor, and I said, you know, it's probably a good thing you do that because we probably messed you up pretty good. And thankfully, though, she said, no, we had a wonderful childhood. Oh, that feels good to hear.
Feels good to hear, yeah.
You know, until she went to the counselor, and who knows what happened.
Right, yeah. Did you talk to her afterwards?
That's right. Yeah, no, I didn't talk to her afterwards. Yeah, I was too afraid.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I think that's something that we just have to come to grips with as parents is we might mess up our kids, and we are thankful for God's grace to make up for those times that we definitely fall short.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yes. Thankfully, there's grace.
Yes.
Amen to that. So how did you feel things went? Like, did you were able to unpackage it as much as you thought you could or should in the service?
Yeah, so I kept it pretty broad just because, kind of like you said, you know, the week prior with marriage, it was left pretty broad. And, you know, these ideas of this is the gist of what parenting should look like, but the nitty-gritty details doesn't really go into. It's more of these concepts that you apply. And so that's where I really kept it on Sunday was these more broad concepts regarding parenting. But didn't really have time to go into the nitty-gritty. What about these certain situations? What about these certain moments? How do I parent in the midst of these things? And I know one thing that you brought up was technology and the internet.
Huge, huge, eh? You see kids even like 5, 6 years old running around with phones in their hand. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh boy, how are they doing? How are they going to manage that? How are parents, you know, instructing them in the fear and admonition of the Lord when they have a phone in their hand? How does that relate to that issue? Hey, So what sort of, have you guys talked that through as a couple? And
yeah, I mean, one thing is recognizing internet, a free internet reign is not a right.
Right. Yeah.
For our kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we have to recognize as parents is, yes, we definitely live in the digital age. Mm-hmm. And our kids are going to need to be on the internet at some point, whether it's for school or whatever it might be. Now it's, you know, if they're at school at home, they've got to be logged into internet to be on the Zoom or the video call.
Right.
And so our kids, they need to know how to use the internet well. With any career they get into, most likely it's going to have some sort of technological activity, internet activity involved in it. And so it's figuring out how do we as parents do that while also protecting them, teaching them how to use it well. And so, yeah, I think that first step is that free reign on the internet isn't a right that kids need. I know that's definitely something that is told to them, is taught to them. Well, yeah, you should be able to go on the internet as much as you want, or you should be able to go on these sites no matter what. You should have a social media account on all these different platforms. And parents can feel this pressure to give in to that. Mm. And especially Christian parents, because they look around and so many parents are doing so. They're setting their kids up a Facebook page or an Instagram or Snapchat, whatever it might be. And the excuse, well, all of my friends are on it. And there's that pressure to give in to that and say, well, you know, everybody else is doing it. My kid needs to have it as well. And I think that's first step is recognizing they don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Free reign on those things isn't necessary for a healthy childhood, even in the digital age.
Yeah. If you, like, I think it's probably even tougher because I would say most parents are on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have all the social media platforms as well.
Right.
So mom and dad are on it. So then why can't the kids be on it?
Right.
Right. And, but it's a different world for adults than it is for kids.
It is.
And do you find that like there are different safe ways of having the internet available to your kids and all that kind of stuff, which I think are really important, given that it's a wonderful place. The internet mm-hmm. has so much good in it,
right?
But it doesn't take very long. Around the corner,
that's right,
is darkness.
Yeah.
And it is intense darkness mm-hmm. and it can swallow up a kid.
That's right.
And that I think is the part that you have to really watch out for. Like anything, like I was trying right. to, even as we were chatting about it here, I was trying to think, well, what would have been an equivalent for me when I was growing up?
Right.
And of course, my parents were always concerned about the kind of music I was listening to.
Right.
I don't even hear that anymore. Now it's, what are you on social media? Right. What are you doing on social media? You know, for us, it was always, you know, are you trying to fill your brain with good music?
Right. Yeah.
You know, because garbage in, garbage mm-hmm. out. That's the kind of the language that I heard when I was growing up and mm-hmm. trying to face how to figure out the media of the day was not social media, but it was music media.
Yeah.
And there were definitely bands and songs that were incredibly not unhealthy. They were unhealthy, but there was a bunch that were just songs, you know, pop songs, pretty basic sometimes mm-hmm. some of them. But I think if you think of it through my lens and trying to figure out, well, how did I navigate all of that, mm-hmm. minus all the pressure? I mean, there was still peer pressure somewhat, but the internet creates its own world of pressure, hey?
It does.
And I think that's where parents can really, I think, again, back to the basics, though. You don't want to get bogged down in, well, that site and this particular thing. Right. But generally, mm-hmm. are you making sure that not only you're tight with God, which is what you said on Sunday, because you need to be tight with God in order for you to help your kids be tight mm-hmm. with God.
That's right.
So that to me seems like, okay, basically that's the bottom line, even for the internet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And approaching it as coming from a Christian perspective on mm-hmm. the internet, and what would Jesus want us to be utilizing the internet for? I mean, Christians are using the internet in amazing ways to spread the gospel around the world. And so there's a responsible way to use the internet. And so it's teaching that to kids and recognizing the enemy is after our kids.
Definitely.
He is after our kids, and if he can pull them into whatever mess he can to get them off track, he's going to try it. And the internet is such a huge tool. So I grew up when the internet was just coming out. Mm-hmm. And so I remember when my family, we got our first computer, hooked it up, you had to dial in and had that
the screeching sound,
right?
Yeah.
As it was logging onto the internet.
Yeah.
AOL, I think, was what we had. Anyways, and you look at it immediately after the internet became available for families. What was one of the first things that became widely available on the internet? Pornography.
Oh, for sure.
And at that point, parents had no idea, I think, when it came to how do I keep my kids safe online? Because what's online? I don't even know. Mm-hmm. Now years later, we're recognizing and we're seeing some of the results from that. And that was, immense pornography addiction among even Christian teenagers mm-hmm. and Christian boys, because they were exposed to these things that parents probably didn't even have a clue their sons or their kids could get to mm-hmm. on their family computer. Mm-hmm. And so now, after 20 years, however many years it's been, mm-hmm. We do know what's available and what's out there mm-hmm. and how easy it is to get through it. You can get to it through Instagram. You can get through it to it through Facebook. There's many avenues. It's there. It's popping up because it's a huge source of income for these huge companies, and they want to make money. If they get people addicted, people are going to spend money, and that's what they're after. Mm. And so we have to first recognize and admit what is available, and it's out there and it's coming after our kids. Mm-hmm. And our kids need us to be that protector for them. They will probably not recognize that's what you're doing. That's going to look like you're overbearing, that you're cramping their style, that you're getting in the way, all of that. But as a parent, you're it's one of the phrases we use, your guardian. You're mm-hmm. supposed to guard and protect your kids.
Yeah.
And it's recognizing there are dangerous things out there that the enemy is using to come after your kids. True. And he uses things like social media, internet browsers to do it. Mm-hmm. And so one thing I would strongly recommend for parents is watch what your kids are doing online. Mm-hmm. Make sure you know what's going on. Don't let them have access to the internet when they're alone. Mm-hmm. Don't let them have access to the internet at night when everybody else is asleep. Only give them access to the internet when an adult is around, when there's accountability, because even the best kids, even those kids that you never would imagine getting into it, Satan is coming after them. Mm-hmm. And it is astounding the success that he has had over the past 20 years. Hmm. So protect your kids.
Yeah,
because okay. kids will get into it. And what happens is then what piles on is the shame,
right?
Of I'm a good Christian kid. I shouldn't be looking at this. There's that shame and it feeds into that cycle and they go back.
Shame and guilt. Yeah. Guilt and shame.
Exactly.
Yeah. Recently I was telling you earlier that mm-hmm. I'd watched a show, a documentary on, called Sex Message, mm-hmm. and it was on Yes TV. So it was Canadian produced, mm-hmm. which I thought, okay, this is good.
Right.
I should, but astounded me. Like I knew that porn was huge, mm-hmm. but probably the biggest shock was the volume of it. 30% of all internet traffic. Like you think of the billions and billions mm-hmm. of transactions that take place online, 30% of them are porn related. Wow. There is absolutely zero incentive for them to do anything other than make trillions of dollars.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And so you know that you're not going to be able to count on self-regulating right. and all. It's just not going to happen.
No.
There's way too much money involved.
Right.
And to me, I just thought like, wow, that is scary for one mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
But it also shows you how dangerously mm-hmm. easy it is to wander down the wrong path and end mm-hmm. up on a porn site.
Yeah, definitely.
And it just, to me, feels like it's just so scary. There's no fence.
No, not right? at all.
And when you're online, there's right. no fence. So I think parents-wise, guardian-wise, yeah. mm-hmm. you have to become the fence.
That's right, yeah.
And to teach your children how to use the internet well mm-hmm. for benefit and for good, because right. it can definitely. It's huge for good.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, training mm-hmm. them how to do that. And again, it boils down to the same principles. Mm-hmm. If you're teaching them to fear the Lord and to follow him,
right.
Then those issues rise and you're counting on the fact that you are teaching them mm-hmm. how to fear God, how to love the Lord. Yeah. What does he expect?
Right. And it's teaching in those uncomfortable topics. Like yeah. pull your teenagers aside and talk to them about porn.
Yes.
They're being talked to about it at school.
It's certainly not a secret anymore. They say
that the average age that a boy is exposed to pornography is 10. Mm-hmm. 10 years old at school, they're going to be exposed to pornography.
Yep.
And so as a parent, if you're not having those conversations, teaching them about it, mm-hmm. then their friends with their cell phones are teaching them about it.
Yep.
And they're teaching them, look what we've got free access to. Look what we can look at all the time, no matter what,
yep.
Because we have access.
The one of the students they talked to, he said exactly that. Mm-hmm. He said the problem that he found, this is part of why he found mm-hmm. himself being kind of pulled in that direction,
right.
was that even at his church, nobody said anything.
Yeah.
And his parents sure didn't tell him anything.
Right.
Which left him,
yeah,
I guess, a blank sheet.
Definitely.
And he was saying that it would have been nice, at least he thinks in his mind, that it would have been helpful to him had he had some instruction about this mm-hmm. and how it can wreck your life,
right.
wreck your relationships.
Yeah.
And that was the neat thing about, like, it was a kind of a nice balanced documentary mm-hmm. because they did have a lot of students there who talked about not wanting to be involved sexually until they're married. Mm. Like this.
Oh, wow.
They said that That's this awesome. Was because of the pain and the suffering and the hurt yeah. that all of that causes mm-hmm. that they felt for themselves, they wanted to mm-hmm. wait until they're married.
Right.
And I don't think they were all Christians.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they weren't.
That's awesome.
So mm-hmm. to me, I think, and that was kind of the way the program ended. The way the program right. ended was there's a new generation of people coming through this yeah. going, not for me.
Right. This has left such a mess.
It's left a chaotic mess, yeah, and people's lives have been ruined, mm-hmm, and damaged and
right,
all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Taken some suicides. Bullying is, yeah, huge. Like, they talked a lot about bullying. A whole, mm-hmm, probably in an hour show, I'd say 15 minutes were devoted to how that whole sex world,
yeah,
brings about bullying.
Definitely.
And, you know, you think, well, why in the world would, you know, the instant answer that was no good was, well, this, don't be on Facebook or don't be on Twitter.
Yeah.
And the fact is, but that's where all their friends are.
Right. Oh, exactly.
So are they supposed to now not know what's going on? That, right? that feels even worse.
It does. Yeah.
So,
because who knows what's going on behind my back?
Right.
And I can't see it if I'm not on there.
That's right. So, and I'm missing out. And, right, you know, I mean, I remember that as a kid, mm-hmm, as a teen. I remember not wanting to miss out.
Right.
So you do go online and you do follow these, yeah, accounts. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing of, you know, some of the girls especially were pushed and pressured into doing something called sexting, which is where you take a picture of yourself or your boobs or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you send it to some boy that has been pressuring you to do it because he's, mm-hmm, kind of sounding like he's interested in you.
Right.
And then you do it. And from there, it turns into a massive bullying issue.
Right.
And it's 24/7 nonstop.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking earlier, you know, when we were bullied at school, it was like lunch hour and the 15-minute, right, recess. Yeah. Otherwise, you know,
we didn't
even think about that guy, you, yeah, know, bullying Bobby, right, you know. Yeah. But now it's not just one guy like bullying, mm-hmm, Bobby.
Right.
It's now hundreds, even thousands, depending, that's, on, right, the size of your school. Mm-hmm. And it's 24/7. Yeah. It's constant. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, they gave a few memorials of students who have taken, yeah, their life because of the bullying that took, mm-hmm, place. And it all started with them pulling up their shirt, taking a picture, yeah, sending it to a boy who thought, mm-hmm, was interested.
Right.
And it just turned into chaos, yeah, and bullying ensued.
Yeah. You know, the internet has also, you know, sex has definitely had a huge influence with sexting, but, you know, even just talking bullying in general. I'm going to steal this illustration. I forget where I read it, so I can't give credit, but it's not an original. You know, Bobby is in the lunchroom. He slips, falls, and his lunch falls all over him. You know, this is back, you know, back in the 90s.
Right.
Couple kids that are sitting by point, laugh, haha. Bobby then goes to the nurse, gets a fresh pair of clothes, goes on with his life. No, yep, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward 20 years to where we are today, 20, 30 years. Same thing. Bobby slips in the lunchroom, falls, except those two or three kids now have a phone and they record it.
Yeah.
Then they upload it.
Yep.
And then it starts getting spread.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's talking about it, mm-hmm, and everybody is reposting.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby is now followed and bullied and made fun of, not just in that moment, but continually, yep, nonstop,
yep,
because it's perpetuated on the internet.
That's right.
And so again, I think that's another area that as parents, we need to recognize we need to be guardians for our kids,
mm-hmm,
and that, you know, yep, there's private messages on Facebook, but those, yep, aren't private from mom and dad.
Right.
Those are messages. Yep. Your teenager, especially if your teenager has had access and privacy so far, if you try to step in and to do this, there's going to be immense pushback.
Totally.
Expect, yeah, it. Get, yeah, ready for it, because, yeah, these are my friends. These are my messages. But parents, your kids need you.
Yeah.
They won't admit it, but they need you to be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
They need you to know what's going on, to know, are there hateful messages? Is there bullying going on? And to step in and help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think, a tough call for parents. I would say it is anyway, even, mm-hmm, because there's a, I don't know if it's a sense of privacy that goes with, yeah, the phone. It is their personal. It's like, it's not quite the same as looking in someone's journal.
Right.
But it is pretty close.
It is.
So there's a real high expectation of privacy. You,
right,
you can't read my phone.
Right.
Because that's like my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard of some parents who say, okay, you can have a social media page, but I'm on it.
Right. Yeah.
You can't have it if you don't want me there.
Yeah.
But the kids can be pretty clever.
Definitely.
And
oh,
they,
yeah,
they can figure out how to block mom and dad from, yeah, you know, so you, right, really, even then you have to stay on top of it. You can't just let it ride.
Yeah. And I think that's something to recognize is this takes work.
Yeah.
Definitely. Takes work to be there for your kids in these areas, because again, companies are making money off of exposing your kids to all of this stuff and getting them hooked and all of this. And so they're going to continue wanting to make more money by coming after your kids.
Totally true.
And so, yeah, it's going to be monitoring. It's going to be keeping your eyes out and becoming literate yourself, making sure you know what's out there, making sure you know what the apps are, making sure you know what can happen on the apps. Mm-hmm. You know, Snapchat exploded. And then I think parents realized, oh, they take pictures and then they disappear. So I can't even go on later and see what pictures they shared because they disappeared.
Right.
Well, that's just asking for trouble.
Sure.
That's just asking for a mess. And then knowing you can screenshot pictures. And so a girl can send a picture to a boy and thinking, okay, it'll disappear. And then he screenshots it and shares
it. Now it's in perpetuity. Perpetuity. It'll just
And if you don't know what screenshotting is, you should.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's the responsibility is on parents to become educated in these things and to ask questions. And, you know, I would encourage parents, if you say, I am clueless when it comes to technology, I don't know how to help my kids in this, please reach out. Like, I'm happy to share resources, to walk with you. These are the social media apps. This is what's going on. These are the things that your kids are being exposed to, because this is something that I'm very passionate about because our kids need to be protected.
Yeah.
You know, we read Proverbs, and it's so many times the dad talking to his son warns him against the prostitute on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the prostitute on the street has turned into the internet and everything available on the internet. And so we need to make sure that we are protecting our kids from this stuff.
Very true. It's hard work. And I think the church can help. Eh? I think we
absolutely.
We can do our best to provide information. We can provide maybe even sort of training or classes, or using like we use right now media for our church. And there's probably plenty. I haven't checked, but there's probably lots of information on that site to help parents get along in this age of multimedia and social media and the whole phone world that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your phone is an amazing thing now. Like my wife just bought a new one. She got a new updated phone with her contract, and that thing is a computer that just happens to be a phone.
Right.
So, you know,
they say that the phone in your pocket is more advanced than the computer that was used when they sent men to the moon.
There you go. And that's in your hand.
Yes.
So the power of that device is massive. And I think responsibility has to come with it.
Definitely.
And parenting through that is tough. You know, we were just, I mean, our kids were just getting into that age when the phone became a thing.
Right.
And texting, when we first started with texting, you had to pay for them.
Right. Yes.
So it was expensive.
Yeah. You don't go over your text limit.
Your text limit was a very important thing, because after that, and even the phone calls, I think.
Yes. Yeah. You had, you know, free nights and weekends.
That's right. Yeah.
But during the week, you better watch your minutes.
That's right. That's how we started out.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I guess maybe it was a little bit easier just because it was more money.
Right.
And the kids didn't have any money to actually do the texting they wanted to.
Yeah.
Even the calling they wanted to, they couldn't do that. And it was still a thing to have a landline.
Yeah.
Now it's like, you don't even need one.
Right.
So you're right. You, I think we have to adjust. We take what it says in the scripture and we say, okay, let's filter it through what I have to go through as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like it specifically says dad. So dads have a big role in this.
Absolutely.
And you can't avoid it. I think you can, you could say that culturally it was that way then when it was written, that dads were the kind of the, you know, the disciplinarians and all the rest of it. Now it's a little more both do. But it certainly wouldn't even hurt just to say, dad specifically, you got to be good at this.
Definitely.
You can't abdicate. Like you were saying on Sunday, you can't abdicate. You can't not be there for your kids. If you do, you put them at risk.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think moms and dads have to work together, obviously, on training the kids up in the Lord and not exasperating them, not being so hard on them. There's no freedom in their life.
Oh, definitely.
Right. And for them to be able to follow social media, fantastic.
Right.
But not to the extent where they're in trouble. So you're always looking for wisdom.
Teach them how to do it well, how to do it safely. So yeah, if they want to be on Facebook and they're old enough in your mind, let them be on Facebook. Teach them how to use it though.
Yeah.
Teach them, when do you block people? When is it to where this person has become toxic? Block them.
Yep.
When do you need to ignore? When do you need to just keep on scrolling?
Yeah.
Teach them how to do that healthily. Yep. And maybe that's you personally looking at, am I on Facebook in a healthy way? Mm-hmm. Am I really interacting with this in a healthy way?
Starts because with it's me, first right?
got to start with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. It's got to start with you being healthy online. And mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff. Tough stuff, but good stuff.
Yeah.
So I think we're on to the, I think we're on to it. I think we're on to the next, how are we doing for time here?
Yeah, we got about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Well, there was one last thing I wanted to bring up.
Yes.
And that was the idea of doing something just because it's right.
Yeah. Who likes to hear that? Just do it because it's the right thing to do.
Exactly. You know, when I first read that, not when I first read it, but when you were reading it on mm-hmm. Sunday morning, my first thought was, it sounds a lot like my dad used to say, because I said so.
Yeah.
And I thought, I hated that when he would do that, because I said so, you got to do this.
Yeah.
But there is something very healthy. Now, it does, you know, you have to give credit, scripture, the fullness of the context. It does go on to say that there is a promise that goes with obedience, right? And that I think is really important. But it starts out with obey because you belong to the Lord and it's the right thing to do. Yeah. Full stop. Like, that's it.
Right. That's it. Yeah, that's the statement.
So to me, I wonder, because there is so much in our world right now that there's this kind of mixing of, you know, do the right thing, but if you do, you could win this, or you could be a part of that.
A little bit of an incentive.
Incentives for doing the right thing rather than just it being the right thing and doing, and that being the incentive.
Right.
That it is actually the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you know, when you're bringing your kids up in the Lord and somebody tells a lie, you tell them, it's wrong to lie because it's right to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's always the spin-off consequences of not doing that. You know, you tell a lie, then no one can believe you anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? How do I know you're telling the truth now? Because you lied to me. So how do I know you're
telling? Yeah.
So now suddenly your character is in question. So yes, there is a definite downside to being a liar. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if you teach them this is the right thing to do, and with rightness comes a sense of being a part of God's family and the belonging to Him and that really sense of intimacy with God, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, of course, God knows our character and He knows what we're like as kids.
Yeah.
And incentive, it works, right? Hey, there's a promise that goes with this, but the promise is long. It's a long ways away.
That's right. It's not immediate.
No, it's not immediate. It's not like you're going to get this in the next 2 months. You know, when I was thinking of this, you know, the Stellary, that they put out a lottery for kids and you can raise money and win you can have a ticket for a big fancy house.
Oh, okay.
And so if you support something good for the right thing,
you
could possibly win a big house, which is really good incentive.
Yeah.
But you could win that in the next few months. Whereas the promise that God gives is down the road.
Right.
So it's not just an instant gratification thing. It's a promise He made down the road. In the meantime, you got to do what's right.
Yeah.
Just because it's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that puts another responsibility on parents is teaching our kids why we do what's right, really. Mm-hmm. And explaining in your own life, why do you do what's right?
Yeah.
Why do you speak truth?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you, why are you caring and compassionate? Why do you serve? Why do you do these things? Why do you do what God says is right to do?
Because
again, that's the question that all kids answer. Why? Why? And sometimes you're just, because I said so.
Yeah.
But when that is the constant answer, because I said so, because I said so, kids don't buy in.
No, after a while.
Well, that's not what I want. That's not what I like. That's not what makes me feel good.
Exactly.
But as parents, it's taking that time again so that when kids hear it's the right thing to do, they really understand that, that it does lead to what is best for them, that it leads to what God asks us to, what is fulfilling for us and makes Him smile. And
it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Well,
All done.
Challenge for parents.
There we go.
And again, please reach out. We want to be here for you. If you just need some prayer, if you need somebody to bounce some ideas off of, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Yes, absolutely. You bet. That's important.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.